The American philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote that the first wealth is health. But today, the opposite is true. The more money you have, the better your health outcomes. Another way of putting that, shorter lifespans for those who have less money. In Australia, men and women living in poorer areas can expect to die between 6 and 4 years earlier, respectively, than those who are healthy and wealthy. In the UK, the statistics are even worse. More than 1 million people dying prematurely in the last 10 years due to poverty, austerity, and COVID. And when it comes to children's development, according to the Joseph Rowntree Foundation in Britain, 40% of children live in a household below the minimum income standard, and those poor living conditions are literally stunting the growth of British five-year-olds. Sir Michael Marmot has spent his life studying health inequality. He's a health policy advisor to Britain's Labour Party, and he's in Melbourne this week and Sydney and Australia at the moment for the World Health Summit. Michael Marmot, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thank you.
You've spent your entire career studying health inequality. What's the gap between the haves and have-nots in Britain in terms of health?
You probably remember Grenfell Tower. There was a big local authority housing block that burnt up. 72 people died. In the area around Grenfell, in the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea, life expectancy is 16 years shorter than in the richer part of the same borough.
That's a massive difference.
North to south in 40 minutes, 16-year gap in life expectancy.
I mentioned children's growth going backwards, their actual physical growth going backwards in Britain. I mean, how that indicator you gave us there, that stat's pretty stark. In the case of kids, why is poverty the determinant in a child's growth? Is it just about not getting enough to eat every day? Is it as simple as that?
Partly, it's about not getting enough to eat. We know that more than 1 million people in Britain had resort to food banks. The level of food insecurity defined as going without food for a whole day, not eating enough to satisfy your hunger, or skipping meals because of lack of food. 22% of households with children have food insecurity. Wow. More than one in five.
And is that statistic risen?
And that it had a dramatic increase with the pandemic. It was at an unhealthy level before the pandemic. The situation in Britain, we've had three challenges to health inequalities in recent years. The first was a decade of austerity. And what we documented during that decade of austerity, that life expectancy increase slowed dramatically. The inequalities in life expectancy increased both by level of deprivation and region. So if you're living in the northeast or the northwest, the post-industrial areas, life expectancy actually went down for the poorest people. Now think about that. The promise, the post-war promise of the welfare state is that things will get better all the time. That's what we expect.
That's what we have lived with.
That's what we've lived with. The baby boomer generation, their parents said, things will get better for you. And by golly, they did. They were right. Things got better. Our health got better, more education, richer, better housing, everything. For the poorest people in Britain, since 2010, life expectancy declined and health got worse and the inequalities got bigger. And that was a decade of austerity. Then the pandemic. And globally, we predicted that the pandemic would reveal the underlying inequalities in society and amplify them. And so it proved.
So when you talk about austerity, we're talking about funding cuts, right? We're talking about the budget. We're talking about cuts to the NHS. But is it more than that? It's more than cuts just to the universal health system, the much-beloved NHS?
It's right across. If you look at child poverty, define child poverty as living in a household at less than 60% median income, relative poverty. After housing costs, in 2010, 27% of children were growing up in poverty. By 2019, that 27% had become 30%. It went down in the first year of the pandemic because of increased welfare
government
spending.
Support.
but it's going up again. It's predicted to go up at the current rate, unless a new government does something about it. It'll be 35% by the 2026. And the government likes to quote absolute poverty. Well, they ought to be a bit careful. The Joseph Rowntree Foundation that you mentioned looked at destitution. Now, we're talking about 2023 when they published that report. Destitution, that's doing without two or more of six basics: housing, heat, light, food, clothing, and toiletries. And 1 million children in Britain in 2022, which was the survey figures, 1 million children were in a state of destitution, and that was a 2.9-fold increase in 5 years. Now, if you ask why has the height of five-year-old children stopped increasing and going down, there's your answer, destitution.
It's incredibly stark. I mean, you've developed a model to do something about this. It's called the Marmot City, and there's 40 of these Marmot cities in Britain. What is a Marmot City? And what's happened in them?
Well, it started with Coventry, the city of Coventry, and then it was taken up by Greater Manchester. And Coventry said, regardless of what the central government is or is not doing, we will take your six domains of recommendations to reduce health inequalities, give every child the best start in life, education and lifelong learning, employment and working conditions. Number four, everybody should have at least the minimum income necessary for a healthy life. Number five, healthy and sustainable places in which to live and work. And number six, taking a social determinants approach to lifestyle. In other words, you don't just say, eat healthily, don't get overweight. You recognize the constraints on healthy eating and the like. Coventry said, we can do it. At a city level, we will invest in improving early childhood, in breaking the link between childhood poverty and poor child outcomes. And guess what? Over the period of being a Marmot City, the proportion of children age five with a good level of development went up. The proportion of 18 to 24-year-olds not in employment, education or training went down. The proportion of people earning a real living wage in work went up.
Can that model work here? Because we have not just a socioeconomic health divide, but also a geographical one. I mean, health outcomes in rural and regional Australia are measurably and significantly worse than in our cities.
What's fundamental to these Marmot places is engaging local communities. So they don't just say, Marmot, will you come in and tell us what to do? I could tell them what to do, but they wouldn't listen. So that's not the point. It's working with local communities. We've got evidence of what you need to do, and I spelled it out in my six domains of recommendations. But it then, you need to work with local people for two reasons. One, because they understand the priorities,
the problems, and the
problems.
Priorities.
And the second, their lived experience is vital. And the journey is important. The journey of engaging people in their own future is important. And from my limited experience with First Peoples in Australia and community-controlled healthcare organisations, I went to the Tarawal Community Centre in Campbelltown and hugely impressed by the fact that First People communities are taking action right through the life course, right through the life course. They never heard of me, so they're not implementing my recommendations. I'm learning from what they're doing. And so I think the kind of model we have could very well work with remote communities or communities in big cities. It doesn't let national government or state government off the hook. We need that kind of action. But that kind of action from state or national government then facilitates the kind of local action on these Marmot principles that's absolutely vital for good health.
What you're talking about community engagement and community-led solutions was sort of central to the notion of the voice to parliament model that was defeated at the referendum. But, you know, Indigenous health indicators there's glaring inequity in Australia. You know, we've gone backwards in suicide rates. The life expectancy gap has closed, but it's still very stark. 8.8 year gap for Indigenous males. I mean, that's a big, big gap. And then, of course, the chronic diseases. In some remote communities, there's capacity building that would need to be a part of this, perhaps, to enable a community to implement, to have this consultation, if you like, within themselves and to come up with the solutions and a plan. Is that part of what can happen and what needs to happen in these communities anyway, in all communities?
Absolutely vital. Several years ago, on a visit to the Northern Territory, I visited a remote Aboriginal community. And the model, again, was very encouraging. That real investment in education, real investment in trying to get local craft industry developed, and I don't know quite how well it was working, but they guaranteed that every young person who completed high school would have a job.
Mm.
They might have to leave their community for that job, and that's problematic. But that's actually thinking through the life course then about early childhood, about education, about the transition to work.
It's not rocket science, is it, Michael? Work, education, food, shelter.
It's absolutely vital. And where we have to get away from thinking is this is only about health care. It's not just about the health services.
Mm. It's about an over-encompassing system. Michael Marmot, thank you very much for joining us here on Saturday Extra. I'd just like to read this text out from a listener. Michael Marmot is a gem. Hear, hear.
Thank you very much.
So Michael Marmot is Professor of Epidemiology at University College in London, and he'll be one of the major speakers at the World Health Summit in Melbourne next week. You're listening to Saturday Extra.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.